السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, صوت أهل السنة والجماعة, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the first of Rabi'ul Thani in South Africa, the year 1446, corresponding with the Gregorian date, the 5th of October, 2024. Alhamdulillah, we have just, discussed the attitude of the Yahudi people. Now, inshallah, we will be crossing over to our brother Ahmad Parak, who is a counselor in the city of Durban. And besides discussing our political issues that affect the city of Durban, we also discuss kafan and dafan, because brother Ahmad Parak is also involved in our burial affairs. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Ahmad Parak.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. The last 2 weeks I was out of town. Alhamdulillah, with your people to all, I'm back, Molana, but at the same token, today we will skip Dafan and Kafan for maybe next week, inshallah. But let's go straight into the most pressing issues regarding the water issues in the city. There's three folds to it, Molana. One is the debt review program. We'll just touch a little bit on that. And then the circular 127, we go through it on a page-to-page basis. And lastly, we'll just do an oversight on the Rosu, where the pump stations, where we're having a problem with our Rosu that is going into our rivers, into the sea, and what is going to be the outcome. So we're just touching to that. And next week, inshallah, Molana, I want to bring in a guest from the Itigwini Municipality for Water and Sanitation. We will jointly host this meeting, inshallah, for next week. So the people on the ground, people, our residents of the city, will know exactly what is happening, what we are doing as far as the city is concerned, and they will get an oversight view of everything, what it is. And yeah, we're not going to shortchange anyone. Huck is huck, we will say, has his truth, nothing but the truth. That's what it's going to be. So I think that's what our program is all about. That's why we come on a Saturday to give the exact what is happening in Itigwini Municipality, and everybody need to know what is happening and how we can circumvent some of the issue. Jibolana, now I'm ready for you.
The first thing is, what is concerning a lot of people, and the question that they are asking most is, what actually led to the situation that's, going to bring about this curtailment on the 10th of October? How did we end up in this situation?
First and foremost, Molana, we must call it the act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From 22, we had a massive, massive flood that has virtually wiped out most of our systems, our purification systems. That's number one. Secondly, where we have repaired a pump station, and then we had, last year we had the tornadoes that we had now, and that has also now has impacted on most of our facilities. So the issue is, one, to get it up and running is just, you can't say it will take 1 month, 2 months. Yeah, all right, I'm going to skip to item three, where the oversight I did for the Rosu that is going into the rivers in the sea. What happens here, the entire program, I went to the Sea Cowlick, the other side of Sea Cowlick, and had a look at the pump stations, what they have they started. In 2022, the entire system was bust completely to ground zero, in other words. So what happened was, 1966, if you go by Sufi Masjid in Kenville and NCP, they call it a pond. The pond is about 2 to 3 meters wide. Now, that pond was built for mainly storm water. It comes into that pond and it goes into the river and it will go into the sea. Now, because that pond, it was built and has not been maintained for so many years from 1966, they haven't done anything. So the pond was filled up with sand and stone and everything. So that all the overflow went over the pond and went away into our system and wiped up our system completely to ground zero. From 22 to now, the contract was only given late last year and the contractors only started in February. So in 5 months, the capacity of for the pump station was 17 million liters a day. It was ground zero. So when they started in February to now, they have brought it down to 21 million liters. So now it has sorted the problem partly, but it has also made it very, very easy. So the raw sewage is not moving too much into the river, because where the pump station is, the Amgeni River runs through and it goes into our beaches, Blue Lagoon, our Durban beaches, Amslanga, all that way. So that's why all the whites and everybody was jumping. They couldn't use the holiday seasons and all. They couldn't use the beaches and all, because that was the reason. So they only started now in February. So that's where we are at the moment. So they have now moving. And I went through right from A to Z from the way how the raw sewage come into the ponds and everything, how they purify, how what happens, and A to Z. So anybody wants to know, I got it in black and white, how, and I took pictures as well. So it shows you exactly what is happening. So that is it. Now, coming to our major water, the listing of the item two is the implementation of the water restriction. Now, in this case, Polana, we got license for X amount. Now we're exceeding that. Now what happens is when you exceed the water, where we buying the water, they put a restriction. So it's 8.4%, we're going to be restricted. But before we come to that, Polana, I'm going to item one is the debt review. Now, what I'm saying to our people on the ground and our community, they must use this facility, because what's going to happen is because we're running short of water. Now, if you have not paid your bill for your light, water, and your rates, they will come and disconnect you. Now, when they disconnect you, they say, you know what, your water is over the top, we can't connect you now, so we want to suffer. So what I suggest, because this debt review program has come into effect from Thursday, it is advisable for all our community to go and do the agreement with the council so they can't disconnect them, because they will use that excuse to disconnect you because of the water issue. So they mustn't use that as a leverage. So if they have a problem, and a lot of our people are, you know, a lot of our people at the moment are suffering. That's a reality. Things are really bad. And we know that people are coming to me, and I'm on the ground most of the time. So I know exactly what is happening. Check to it, finish, overport. Anywhere you go, even some of the areas like Westville, Reservoir Hills, people still come to me. They say, you know what, we have a problem. People are out of work. Things are really, really, really bad at the moment. So, you know, Allah knows best. But they can use this program to make sure that they don't get disconnected. So what they need to do then, you pay a 5% of whatever the bill is, do an agreement with the council over 36 months, interest-free, and they will write off the interest, and whatever you're owing, you pay only 5% for that, and you pay your current bill. So that way, they will not be able to disconnect you. So that is one of the ways to safeguard ourselves. That is very, very important. People need to take heed of that. Come to me. I've got the facilities in place in my Durban office here. They will fill it. We've even submitted it for them. You can help the people. That's where we are. That's what I'm there for. So if they come to me, I'm prepared to assist. And after the show, I can even give them my number. They can come to me or phone me. I can make they can make an appointment, or they can meet with my PA who will be able to assist them. We'll be able to do it. So that's where the first thing, let's secure ourselves before the disconnection, because they will use that as a leverage. Now, coming to our main issue of this water in reduction. Now, we said 8.4% we have to reduce. Now, the water that we are getting into our system, we're losing 56% of our water. And if you go to all, if you're driving, yesterday I was driving to drop my granddaughter. There's a pipe burst in near Roseland Avenue and Brick Hill Road. And I phoned them and I said, you know what, this is the second day I'm driving past. Why is this water still seeping out? So they said, no, it was given. The contract was given. The guy was, he ran over his time, so he's only coming there this yesterday to sort that out. Now, the problem is that's where our major losses is. Now, the other major problem that, Molana, we are going to be faced with. Now, say in that Brickfield Road, we need to fix that pipe on that road, Brickfield Road. Now, they have to close three valves to fix one pipe up. Now, when the pipe is fixed, or they put a, they fix that pipe, they put in a small piece and they're clamping it and they sort that pipe out, water is stuck. When they open those three valves, now down the line, you might have a hip fracture. Now that is going to go up now. So now this opening and closing, we want to have a massive problem with water leaks all over the city now. That is a major issue. In fact, I brought it to the attention of the city regarding this there. Now, they said, you know what, we are in a catch-22. I said, because they have not serviced the system for 15 years, that's where we are having this problem. Now, the main issue is from the main source, we cannot get enough water from Amgeni into our pumps. That's where our problem is. And also, they are also taking precaution. If there's a drought, they need a backup of that. So that's how they have calculated everything to bring it to this stage, Molana.
Now, another important question is, this curtailment, is it going to be a gradual process or, you know, it's just straight up?
No, what they want to do is, we have got a system put in place for over 12 months. So it's going to be gradually. You can't start closing everybody one time and all. That's going to be a massive problem for the city as well. So it's going to be, they'll have to see where the main area that has been selected, where the biggest consumption is. That's how they're going to do it in a gradually station. But what we have implemented is all the illegal connection and all that. They have brought in more people to close up all that. And furthermore, what important thing they have done is each ward will have his own plumber. So in other words, Reservoir Hills is 38, you will have your own plumber assigned to that. Every ward will have a plumber assigned to their own ward and all. That will make it easier for us to do the quick turnaround to fix the leaks and all out. So that's how we do it. The illegal connection will stop. I went into on Wednesday also in Lamontville, Molana, 3,500 in that informal settlement. They got 24 toilets, they got free light and free water. Now we saying one, we short of water, we short of electricity. They getting free majaya of light and water. All right, okay, fine, the indigent and all that, you can say whatever it is. So who is funding this indigent program? It is the ratepayers. So all these things are compounding to our infrastructure, our problem, the people from rural area. That the city can only take 20 million people. We're sitting on 33 million people. Now, you know, it's like taking 1 liter bottle and you're filling 1.5 liter. You never do. You can't fill it. You can only fill 1 liter. That's what, where our biggest problem has come in, Molana.
Now, you know, we know that this is like spilled milk. You can't do anything. But if this kind of action is not implemented, what's going to be the consequences?
Molana, one good thing we have got at our disposal is we have got the Cyril Palmer. He's a brilliant mayor that we have brought. They have assigned him to come here. And, you know, he's a guy, if you want a meeting with him, you tell me, I'll set up a meeting. He'll meet you one-on-one, or he'll call you at his office. He's so busy, but he's still entertained. In fact, yesterday he met with the Minara Chambers, the business community wanted to meet with him. He met with them. So, you know, if the ratepayers met with the ratepayers in Overport. So he's meeting, he's going out there and meeting. He's the man on the ground, and he's putting things together. And he understands the plight of our city, where we are. And that is very important. The man is an understanding guy, and he has put a team there, especially for these two things, the Rosu, the water, and the electricity. Electricity, we got it about 80% under control. Alhamdulillah, that is working so far so good. These are the only two issues. And the last, third issue is the road where you got all your potholes. That because we only got at the moment one car manufacturing plant, they have to implement the other one, put it into action, and that is, they're busy working with that. So these are the three priorities they're looking at, and they're working towards that.
The tar issue is a bit serious, sir, because that intersection by Randall's Road and Sparks Road outside Sparkport Pharmacy, the traffic light, I think it's going about 2 months that they haven't tarred that place.
Gee, Molana, now let me explain. Say in that corner of that intersection, you get a pipe burst. Now they come with a TLB, they will open it up, then the plumber. TLB is another section. The plumber is another section. Plumber will come, fix it up. Then the guy will come, they will close that hole up. They'll have to wait between 30 to 16, sometimes in some cases 90 days. The sand has to settle. They can't compact it straight away because it will affect the piping system underground as well. So they have to let it settle first. So a lot of people come and say, you know what, they dug this thing here on Monday. Up till Friday, they haven't closed. They closed the hole. But now, now what happens is the sand, when you fill it, as the cars are going, it will start slowly settling. Once it settles properly, then only we can put the crusher and put the car to tar that place up. That's how the process is. Now, you can't beat the process, because end of the day, when you put the, you beat the process, and you've seen over the months now, people were jumping, and the guy came and put the tar. And what happened? The whole tar has sunk in. You'll see that when you're driving, you're going into a ditch now. Then you'll say to yourself, how did they put this tar here? Now, this thing here, they didn't do a proper compact. Now, you didn't let the sand settle properly. That's what happened here.
Coming back to the water issue, how will Itikweni municipality ensure residents are not adversely affected?
Right. So what we must do, especially over our Muslim community in the greater part of Itikweni municipality, because water is more essential than electricity. Electricity, you can get a generator and generate it, and all. Water is a big problem for us, right? Because parks after and everything, right? That's number one. Number two is what, and now most of these new buildings and all, they got the tank in the inside of the wall and all. Now that is a problem now, because if you have your tank, you know, like the older system where you have your tank outside, then you can fill that tank up and you can flush your toilet. But in this new system, you can't do that. So what I suggest to all our people is get a JoJo. You know, you get a flat JoJo, you get a round JoJo, there's plenty of JoJos in the market at the place. At the moment, you need to work out your consumption. And most of them, for a household, you need anything from between 1,000 to 3,000 liters. put that and put a pump, your problem will be solved. And when it's not water restriction or anything, keep filling that tank up. Keep filling the tank up. And then what you do is you put a dipstick. You know, like when you go to the garage, they'll put a dipstick and see what your oil consumption is, whether you need oil or you don't. You put a clear pipe. The guys, whoever you give it, I got a whole lot of people in my books that they come to me, they say, you know what, we want to put a borehole, we want to put a pump, we want to do that, because I do for various masjids and all that. So I would give them the number, then they can select who they want to use, and they will give them some places where they have done. They're going to have a look at it. You know, in my apartment, we have one. Now, we put a clear pipe, so it will tell you from there. You don't have to keep banging the jojos to see if there is water or not. That outside clear pipe will show you how much of water there, and you keep filling it on a daily basis. So you'll bring it up to 3,000 liters, and that will suffice for you. If there's an issue or anything, you know you've got water all the time running for you.
Now, coming to point six of the discussion, what is the current water supply status?
We at the moment we're getting the water, that average consumption is 270 liters per day, what we are giving at the moment. So we need to bring it down to about 170. So it is about 100 we're going to be, that equivalent to that 8.4%. But the water from Angeni is coming through. But the problem that we are faced, Maulana, is the pumps where, you know, from the reservoir where they're supplying the water to the community and the households and the industries and the flats. The issue is in between that system, we're losing that 56%. Now, that is the problem. Otherwise, if we were not losing that 56% of that water, we should be okay. And that's what we are curbing at the moment to fix both sides. One, the householders, the industry, they're looking, because in the, we householders use very little. In the industry, they use a lot of water because they need for the boilers and everything else. You know, so you've got big issues there for us. And electricity and water is the main issue for them. So that's where the issue is. And most cases, if a person thinks he can get borehole, go and don't just get anyone to say, you know, there's water here, they want to come and dig here, and they will dig 10 places. Get a professional who will come and indicate, put markers for you, what the actual consumption away from the streams is, the best catch area you can get water. He will identify for you, and that's only one place you need to dig. In fact, I'm at the moment consulting for a person here in 202 Curry Road. So I gave them all that, and we gave them the whole literature, so they know exactly. They came and marked it, put pegs there, where, everything. So I think whoever has got a little bit of money, maybe it might invest, and you just put a straightforward borehole for now, it can help them. For long term, it will suffice, because this thing is not going to, even if you fix all the system and everything, because of the influx of rodents coming into our cities and all, it's going to be, you know, you will be shortage of water long term. So we must look at the long term picture. For us, this is concerned item six. Now, we're getting water now, we can't get it into our systems now. That is our problem. So it will sort out. It will gradually, I think, it will come right, inshallah, in the next 12 months. That's what we're aiming, and our objective is to sort that out at the moment.
Now, just to deviate a bit, this is definitely going to affect economical growth in the city also, and it could also lead to maybe a reduction in employment.
Maulana, far as that is concerned, you know, it's not a very big number if you look at it. You know, it's 8.4% from the total. If you look at 118 megaliters, that's what we're going to be. The shortfall is, and somewhere along the line, in fact, they are busy at the moment working towards that to make sure that we don't. we try to catch up quick as possible. So unemployment side of it is not going to be a major train smash at the moment, because what's supposed to have been 1,406.4 megaliters per day, we wanted to reduce it to 1,287.7 megaliters, which is 118 megaliters, the shortfall. So if we can get that shortfall somehow or the other, fixing all these leaks and the lose, where we're losing the 56%, we'll be able to catch up. And that's it. So I think long term, it will come right in far as your question is concerned, in terms of unemployment is going to affect our growth in the country. I don't think it's 8.4%. It's not a massive percentage to worry about.
Now, lastly, we've got just, it doesn't matter if you take a bit of time, but the most important question is, how does the residents of the city participate in the process? You know, what role can they play during this whole process?
Well, Islamically too, we say we must save water, right? In masjid, I see a lot of people coming to the masjid. What the sunnah way is, make wazoo at home and come, but they'll come and use the masjid. Some of them I've seen, they stay around the corner from our masjid, but they come and use our toilet. Unless if it's emergency or anything like that, it's fine. But I see them on a regular basis. Now, these are the things that it makes me think how the man is staying around the corner, he's taking a walk to the masjid, but he'll come and use our masjid, our water and all that. You know, masjid water, toilet and all is put for mainly travelers, for emergencies or things like that. You've got weak bladder or whatever it is. It's fine, understandable. But people come just to come and make wazoo. If they leave the house and come and make wazoo in the masjid, and I don't think it's fair. You know what I mean? That's my opinion, you know. And I feel that, you know what, You must come home. You should stay. You're coming from home. Stay wazoo everything from home and come to the masjid. So these are the one of the precautions we have to use, is start reducing our consumption of water. And that is how we'll be able to save. And at the same token, we need, for park staff, we need water all the time. Start building up a reserve. So in case, God forbids, anything happen, Allah forbids, anything happens, we got a backup. That's what I'm saying. You know, and then, alhamdulillah, in our area, a lot of people have got boreholes and everything. And if you go to them and if you come to us at the masjid too, we prepare to give you, because we got a borehole as well. People come there with 23 by 20 liters buckets. We fill them up and we tell them, you know, there's it. And that's it. And then, alhamdulillah, you know, we got Twin Clothing has got a tanker today, alhamdulillah. They're assisting. Then we got Ahmad Dain. From Phoenix Cash and Carry, he's got a 40,000 liter tanker. So, you know, we, alhamdulillah, we must make shukr that, you know what, our community, our business people are also assisting in that. They have bought tankers to assist the community as well, Marana.
Now, there's one interesting thing that I'm seeing here is about the use of grey water to flush the toilets, grey water to wash, flush the toilets. I know in countries like Australia, they have facilities, where the residents can collect this. Now, is there any idea how people will collect the grey water?
Grey water is mainly, you know, your dishwasher, when you're washing your dishes and all that sort of thing. You save that water and you flush that for your toilet system. That's what we call the grey water. So that's, you know, and whether our people will do it or don't do it, and they've got a facility, because now you need to change, keep, as soon as you tell your mate and all, keep this water here, put it in a 20 litre and all that. Will you use this for your toilets and all that? That's what you say, yeah.
Okay. You know, you spoke about people coming and using masjid toilets and for wudu facilities and living a few doors away. Even more shocking is people that live 3-4 doors away and come with a car and occupy the parking space.
100%. I see that all the time, and you know what? And you know what? One very good friend of mine from Australia, he told me, you know, you're South African, you all are the best in the world. So I told him, why? He said, you know what? This is how you all do things here. That's it. So I told him, you know what? You can't tell anybody anything. When you tell them, they want to fight with you. So you know what? I'm involved in maintenance in masjid, various other masjid as well. And when you put up a sign, who told you to put up the sign now? You know, all these things. So I told him, bye, do me a favor. Don't talk to me. Go talk to the trustee. I'm not the trustee of the masjid. And even if you offer me a trusteeship in any masjid, Maulana, my father told me, if you take the trusteeship in any masjid, you must be prepared to take your shoes out, roll your pants up, and go and wash the toilet if the toilet is not working. That is a trustee. That is how a trustee is supposed to be. So not sit back in an armchair and be a chairman and all that. No. You must get the work done. That is trusteeship.
Jazakumullah khair al jaza for the valuable information and your valuable time on this Saturday morning. Inshallah, next week with the guest, we could, cover more on this subject. Once again, Jazakumullah khair al jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was our brother Ahmad Parak, who is a counselor in the city of Itikweni, discussing this whole issue of water, because from the 10th of October, we're going to have that implemented, that is the restriction of water. And it is important that the residents of the city know how to deal with the situation. Inshallah, next week there would be a guest, another guest from the municipality who's directly involved with this issue, that would be on this show.